I want to go to 2 Chronicles and pick up where we left off last week. And I talked to you about the value of seeking God. And I'm going to show you how to do it, some very practical things I'm going to try to lay out to you. But I want to remind you that rewards in the church and in the Bible and in God are not our motivation. They're not to be our motivation, but they are an incentive. They're not our motivation. It's like we're not just motivated to get some prize, because that's a little bit selfish and that's a little bit base. Our motives are hopefully to be to honor the Lord, to enjoy Him, to make Him known, and to conform to the image of Christ. But let me tell you, in Hebrews chapter 11, it says we need to believe that He exists and that He's a rewarder of those who seek Him. So there is a reward in seeking. And the definition for the word seeking, I'll give to you in a minute. I just love this definition because I think it provides some practicality, gives you some handles. But man, I want to go into 2 Chronicles 26 and show you a snapshot of one of the premier kings of Israel in Judah that had one of the longest reigns. And in the chapter, it shows a 52-year pursuit of God that really paid off in diverse ways. It also sadly admonishes us at the end of the chapter about the consequences of this guy backing off and not seeking God. And God even had told Asa, another king in 2 Chronicles 15, He said, "Listen to me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you when you're with Him, and if you seek Him, He will let you find Him. But if you forsake Him, He'll forsake you." So in the Old Covenant, it was pretty punitive and it was pretty black and white like that. In the New Covenant, it's no longer letter of the law. There's a super abundant grace situation that we ought to all just breathe a big hearty hallelujah. God is so good. But I want to remind you that in the New Testament, it says that He's a rewarder of those who seek Him. And in the King James, it even says diligently seek Him. So God is calling us to fire up on this thing. And there's a reward in there. There's something that it's best encapsulated in 2 Chronicles 26, and I'm going to just read the first five verses or so. And this is a story about a guy named Uzziah. It says, "All the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the place of his father Amaziah. And he built Eloth and restored it to Judah after the king slept with his fathers. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and look, he reigned for 52 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah had done." Now, Amaziah had a fairly good track record. He got rebuked and got in some idolatry and messed up. But he fundamentally did okay. And this guy learned from the dad's mistakes and he learned from the dad's ways. And then also he learned from his mother. And verse 5 said he continued to seek God. And it starts getting really good here. "In the days of Zechariah, who had understanding through the vision of God." Now, so it shows that he listened to his dad, listened to his mom. He was taking advantage of the prophetic ministry of Zechariah, who had understanding through the vision of God. And then listen to this breathtaking sentence. "As long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him." Let's all say that. As long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. Now, I want to live my life and figure out what this looks like. And when you see the God prospered in part, you see the prerequisite for it is, as long as he sought the Lord, on his daily life, he sought God. In Psalm 34:4, it says, "I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears." And God is calling us to not loathe the pursuit of God, to not be apprehensive about the pursuit of God. He's calling us, he's inviting us by this snapshot from the past, that this guy that 16 years old sought the Lord and God caused him to prosper and he continued to seek the Lord, and as long as he sought the Lord, God caused him to prosper. And now here's the key to Uzziah's success. Number one, he continued to seek God. Everybody say continued. Continued. I talked to somebody, they said they started swimming this summer, and she said, "You know, I'm a good starter. We'll see how I do." You know, we started saying, "That's really great." So, well, I'm a good starter. I'm not as good a follow-through or continuer. And it is easy to start a race. It's kind of another thing to sustain and end. But I will say this. We're going to finish strong. Because he's the author and the finisher of our faith. And I invite you to remember that when it says that God's called us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, right after that it underscores this point that for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And I love the Weymouth translation. Back in the like 1906, they started trying to bring the Bible into a more modern phrasing. In the Weymouth edition, it said, "It's God Himself whose power creates within you both the desire and the power to execute His gracious will." It is God Himself whose power creates within you both the desire and the power to execute His gracious will. God is at work in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. What got you to come to church when you worked so many hours this week? It's 100 degrees this week. What got you in your car driving here when gas prices are going up and TV is beckoning you and you're sleep deprived and you're, you know, the hamburger places that you drove by, 32 of them in this valley alone, a place is beckoning you. Come in and eat in here. Come in and overeat. But you passed all of them. You discipline yourself. Because there's something that's at work in you where you, some of you drove from Troy, Missouri. Some of you drove from Illinois. Some of you drove from far places. Some of you overcame some apathy. Some of you overcame some hurt and some issues. Some of you are dealing with some stuff. Some of you even sat on the opposite side of the building from somebody you have a Hatfield and McCoy thing with that you haven't told anybody about. I'm calling you out on it. But you're here. Hallelujah. Why? Because God's working on the inside of you. He's working mightily in you. He's beckoning you. He's urging you. He's prompting you. He's not letting you be comfortable with your flesh. He's not letting you be comfortable with subordinate, reduced, little minimized approaches toward life. He's given you big dreams and big visions because He's your God. He's a creator of the universe, and He's huge, and He's able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all we could ask or think, according to the power that works in. This guy, and this verse has fascinated me since I was a young person. As long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. Now, the Hebrew word for prospered, I think it's pronounced salak, and it means to push forward. God pushed him forward. As long as he sought the Lord, God was pushing this guy forward. To go over. He's the one that'll get you to go over. Everybody say, go over. Go over. I like this one. Here's another part of the definition. God caused him to break out. And here's the last one. And God caused him to be good. How you doing? I'm good. I'm good. We all say that automatically. But you know what? God, when you're seeking Him and seeking the Lord, seeking His strength and pursuing peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord and keeping a root of bitterness out, and you're seeking God, He will push you forward. Yes, He does. And if you get the black cloud of apathy in your life, you just remember that God will help you jumpstart it. He will help you to push you forward. Yeah. I was with somebody one time, and they were carrying a box. They lost their balance. They started to fall backwards. I happened to be in the right place, and I pushed my hands in his back and pushed him right back up. Pushed him right back up on his feet. He said thank you about 2,500 times to me. And I think that's what praise and worship services are all about. Thanking God for that big hand that He's put in our back when we've teetered and tipped and He's continued to push us forward. When things look so weird, He's continued to push us forward. When it's self-inflicted misery, He covers us with His grace and moves us forward. When people go weird on us, God keeps pushing us forward. When the world gets weird, He keeps pushing us forward. God is at work in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And as long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. You want to do a Bible-rama, go through the Bible thing for a little while? Before you do, I'm going to just show you some things here. He continued. The next thing he did is he did right in the sight of the Lord. Don't underestimate doing the right thing. Don't underestimate really being a substantial person of integrity in the silent things, in the private things, in the little things. The Bible says the integrity of the upright shall guide them. This guy got so adamant about it. He was so sensitive. He did not want to grieve the Holy Spirit. He did not want to disappoint God. He wanted to do right in the sight of the Lord. He continued to seek God and he did right in the sight of the Lord. A theologian was preaching about how the world is trying to cut corners everywhere and it can creep into even into Christians' lives. And we can't get into a fake it out lifestyle. He said he saw a bumper sticker that said, "Jesus is coming soon. Act busy." Even when I was working at another church, one of the guys on the facilities team, that was his, he told everybody, that was his mantra. He said, just act busy. And he ended up losing his job. Because there were people that went there and clocked in and did their work heartily unto the Lord, and they continue to prosper. I haven't seen that guy since he said that. Really, he disappeared. I haven't seen him for 20-something years. But I still see some of the people who didn't listen to that counsel and said, no, I'm not going to look busy. I'm going to be about the Father's business. Just because the boss isn't watching me right now, I'm going to work anyway. Paul even said that. He said, whether I'm with you or absent, you're still doing, you're consistent. And see, God is looking for that. Prophesying to you, we're coming into a season where we are going to be most needed. In this little lull before the deal, enjoy it. It's a little bit of a break. Say, where's the revival? Where's harvest? Where's the impact? Where's the... It's coming. I've been in and out of this thing. I've watched this thing come and go so much. This is one of those times we had to go, okay, let's prepare. Let's get ready. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. He did right in the sight of the Lord. He followed the example of his dad. Number four, he received from his mom. Do you know how rare it is that in a genealogy type of a snapshot in the Bible, how rare it is that mothers were mentioned? Paul mentioned it about Lois and Eunice with Timothy and honored that. That was also a reflection of the new covenant. This was so male-dominated, they didn't give much shout-out to the moms. But this guy got a shout-out on his mom because he was listening to his mama. Number five, he benefited from Zechariah. Oh man, I'm grateful for the spiritual mentors that have given me roadmaps and indications and examples, and I'm so thankful for them. You don't want to underestimate the value of those that are over you in the Lord, those that have God has given gifts into the church and the benefit. We don't want to listen to every voice that pops up on TV. You got to really be discerning now, and you got to watch it. But on the other hand, when it is a vital truth, it sure is helpful. And number six, he fulfilled his role as king. There's a call on our lives, and God's called us to seek him. As long as he sought the Lord. Here are some other keys. Matthew 6:33. Seek first, what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. God's called us to prioritize this thing. God's called us to calibrate. God's called us not to drift. You guys notice the electromagnetic pull of the world will try to pull us into all kinds of... I mean, the marketing and the advertising alone tells us in a 15 or 30 second spot just how absolutely important this product is and how we can't live without it. And we got 50,000 of those voices going on. But you know, the voice that I'm trying to clarify to you right now is the voice of antiquity. It's the voice from the garden. It's the voice from the throne. Seek first his kingdom. Make it a priority that God, I'm going to seek you. And what does the Bible say? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you, you guys. To seek, the Greek word is zeteo, which means to worship God, to desire God, to inquire of God, to require God. I've got to have him. I've got to have you, God. What I'm doing, I've got to have God. I've tried autopilot. I've tried have him being my co-pilot. I've tried going on and doing things in my own power. And you could do stuff for a little while, but it feels hollow and empty. It's disappointing. And then you look around for God, and he's way back on the horizon going, hey, remember me? You go, oh, God, how'd I get out here? And then you get back in alignment. Wait a minute, I don't want to get ahead of God. I don't want to get behind God. I don't want to get on the left side or the right. I want to seek first the kingdom of God. I could sense them lining up right now even. And the word first is the Greek word proton. Everybody say proton. It means firstly in time, place, and order, and importance. Firstly in time, place, order, and importance. This gives me access. Because when it said as long as he sought the Lord, that's the word, Hebrew word yom. I've been doing some studying on these things and these words to try to get the meaning on them. Just so I don't skim over the surface of it. I give you something that's got nutrition to it. It's daily. It's just how we start our day. It's just how we start this thing. I remember I heard a guy that was into devotional stuff, and he talked about, you get up at 4:30 in the morning and you pray to the living God. And I thought, 4:30 in the morning? I'm working the night shift. I'm totally disqualified. You know, I heard this guy say that, and I thought, early in the morning? I come home and I go to bed. I'm my early, you know, and it was all this... It's just how you start a thing. If you work the night shift and you get up at 6 o'clock at night, just before you put your feet on the floor, just begin to minister to the Lord. Just start thanking God. Keep your Bible at your bedside. Just stay in it. Focus on Him. Turn the TV off. Get quiet. Put Him firstly in time, place, order, and importance. I've been spending a lot of time with Patsy. It causes enrichment in that relationship. It causes enrichment. Being here right now with you guys, it's bringing connection to me. I haven't seen you all week. It's cool to see you guys. I want to jump down in fellowship with each one of you. Do you drive all this way from Troy? And where? How many of you are from Illinois? Whoa, there's a lot of people from Illinois. Last time I checked, there's a river there, and it's about 20-something miles that way. That's commitment, people. That's proton. Seek first the kingdom of God, first place, first time, and all these things will be added to you. It will be there will be more given. There will be increase, an environment of increase. Everybody say increase. Increase. Now we're looking at the Gentiles eagerly seeking all these things without the priority or the proton of God, and the first things first thing, and they're not really catching up with it. But the Bible gives us an insight. If we seek Him, we're going to find Him. In fact, let's look at a few amazing verses. Can we look at a few amazing verses? Go to the book of Psalms, of course. Psalms has wonderful stuff. Psalm 105:3. This is one of those amazing dividends of seeking God. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. This is echoed in 1 Chronicles 16. And you ought to read 1 Chronicles 16, where David got the Asaph family who did the worship. And he proclaimed this praise and articulated this amazing litany of honor to God that is one of the most fascinating statements in literature. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing to Him. Sing praises to Him. Speak of all His wonders. Glory in His holy name. And look at this. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. This is the cure for depression. This is the big, giant, humongous antidepressant from God. Give thanks to Him. Sing praises to Him. Tell people about how wonderful He is. Glory in His holy name, that name is above every name. And then let your heart seek Him. And as you seek Him, you know there's going to be a gladness and a strength. Seek His face continually. Everybody say continually. As long as. Everybody say as long as. He sought the Lord. God prospered him. All right, let's go to Psalm 34:10. Psalm 34:10. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Verse 8, how blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints, for to those who fear Him there is no want. I wrote next to my Bible, good. I also wrote, only Jesus satisfies. It says, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. Do you know what this suggests to me? That if you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things will be added to you. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. I started out reminding you that rewards are not our motivation. It's like, gimme, gimme, gimme. I'm not trying to advocate that at all. But I, on the other hand, it is a huge incentive. As we read this, it's pretty amazing. That God, as we seek you, there's gladness that comes. There's no want. In fact, Proverbs 28:5. Go to Proverbs 28:5. It says, evil men do not understand justice. Evil men do not understand justice. But this is one of the most explosive verses. In fact, I put two arrowheads on the side in red on this next part of this verse. But to those who seek the Lord, understand all things. Dare we grasp that or believe that? Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all we could ask or think. What this verse suggests is that if we seek God, He's going to disclose things to us. Things about our work. Things about our relationships. Things about the world we're in right now. Things about the perils of the times and the prophetic message of the Bible. Well, we'll understand the times and what we should do. As we draw near to Him and as we become sensitive to Him. You know, last Sunday, a guy gave me a beautiful gift. He gave me the RCA Victor statue of that dog that had his ear up at the gramophone And it said his master's voice, and he heard me preach this message about the Holy Spirit. And he said, I don't know if you'd be interested in this. And he said, you might not like it. I bought it back 20 years ago at an antique shop. And he pulls this out, and I went, oh, you know, and he goes, oh, you like it. I love it. I've got it on my desk back there. And he's got his ear up. And it's just such a nice gift that if we'll lean into this thing and we'll inquire of the Lord, he'll give us understanding. In fact, this is pretty extravagant conversation right here. He's saying, but those who seek the Lord understand all things. We'll understand justice. We'll understand social action. We'll understand how to treat people. We'll understand how to make an impact. We'll understand answers. We'll understand our mission. We'll understand our purpose. We'll understand priority. Seek first his kingdom, his righteousness. See, listen, there's a drift factor. All we like sheep have gone astray. And because I live in this human carcass, I see my own fleshly potential. And so let's just be honest, none of us are exempt from it, but listen, God is urging us. He's inviting us. He's showing us, look, man, when King Uzziah sought the Lord, God anointed him to tear down the walls of Gath and the Philistines and make changes and bring reforms. He built up an army of 305,000 men. He got in inventions. He got in an atmosphere of creativity. I talked to somebody as recently as yesterday who just had one breakthrough after the other. And it was like a dream. This person has also had a lot of trials. There are many afflictions. So these things run concurrent. So I'm not giving a false and imbalanced point here that you're going to be exempt from trial or challenge. There's always going to be conflict. There's always going to be trial because we're not in heaven yet. We're not in the Garden of Eden anymore. And there's no such thing as utopia. But we have trials. We have challenges. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver them out of them all. We don't have to turn to Isaiah 55, but it challenges people. Why are you spending your money on stuff that doesn't satisfy? Why are you doing this and that? And then he says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And I'll tell you what's really cool about this. God loves you so much. He's not going, you tick me off. You haven't been praying. I'm not going to listen to you. No, the Bible says, that's unscriptural. The Bible says his ear is inclined to the prayer of the upright. We're not trying to wrench back the arm of a reluctant God. He loves, he responds. He's present. Listen to me, guys. Pray a little bit about your work, even before anything stirs up. Pray about it, because God is going to use you, many of you, as a catalyst to address and create and provide change over stuff you don't even know or realize. And some of you, it'll be out of the range of your present set of responsibilities. I'm prophesying to you. Listen to me. Get ready. Apathy is the enemy. Remember I told you I'd give you the definition for seeking. Seek. Webster's Dictionary. To resort to go to. I'm going to God with this. The other day I lost a book. I was so frustrated. I looked around for it. I looked everywhere I thought it might be. I told Patsy. She looked around for it. Her mom was visiting our house. She is the go-to lady to pray when we lose things. She's got faith to find stuff. And she just said, I heard Patsy say, and I did not have faith. I was like, I had a bad attitude. I was like, I gave up on that book. Now, it's a bad attitude. I'm just being, don't look at me that way or I'm not going to say this stuff to you anymore. She said, Lord, we believe we're going to find that. Thank you for it, in Jesus' name. I mean, Patsy, do we get in the car? We got to go down to the office. Well, I already looked back. I already looked on there. She goes, another pair of eyes will help. I said, I don't know. And she looked right where I already looked, and she went, is this it? I went, yes. Thank you, Jesus. Some people are go-to people for prayer. But I'm telling you, God is the go-to God. And when you seek, it means you're going to God with a thing. This guy was a king. He's 16 years old. He's like, excuse me, God? I mean, I do that with my parenting. I do that with my relationships. I need God for everything. And guess what? You do too. We don't have time to read it, but in Acts chapter 17, it says that he ordered our times and the boundaries of our habitation in order that we would seek the Lord and grope for him, that perhaps we might find it, because he's the one that in him we live and move and have our being, and he gives life and breath to all. Come on! God designed us to be seekers! God's playing hide and seek with us. He's not hiding it from us. He's hidden it for us. but he loves the exertion of the pursuit. So church, break out of the mundane and the boring and the monotonous and get over it and go after it with God. Here's another one. To go in search of, look for, try to discover. When I go out hiking, I'm always looking for arrowheads. I can't go outside and pray sometimes. All I want to do is find arrowheads. There's something on the inside of us where we're hunting for treasure. When I was a kid, I thought there were diamonds at my next door neighbor's driveway. It was quartz, but I kept looking. I think this is a diamond in the rough, Dad. No, that's quartz, Jeff. No, I think this is a diamond. I'm looking for a diamond in there. But I'm telling you, when you seek after God, where you're looking for, you're trying to discover, to ask for. Remember the famous over and over again repetitive statement in the Gospels? Ask and you shall receive. Seek, knock. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Come on, you guys. We're seeking him. To request, to ask, to request. You have not because you ask not. Listen, ask ridiculously huge prayers. Now unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all we could ask or think. Pray big prayers, ladies. Pray big prayers, brothers. Dust it off. Don't manage your expectations. Let's start believing God for the nations. Let's start believing God for the economy in St. Louis. Let's start believing God for the body of Christ to rise up, for harvest, for revival, for the nations to be impacted with the gospel of Jesus. I mean, really, let's not cave in right now. It's a time for us to rise up and seek the Lord. It is time to seek the Lord. To try to acquire or gain, to aim at, to make an attempt, to try. Man, it's just a matter of, God, I'm going to press into this thing, and I trust you to bring it to pass. All right, here's some things you can do, practical things. Every day, just enter into thanksgiving. Count your blessings and just thank God for the good stuff that's happened in your life. This is one of the ways you could seek God. This is one of the ways you press in. You enter in with thanks. You don't enter in with a bunch of requests. Start by thanking and praising God. What I love about my children is they love me before they cash in. It would be a pretty shallow deal if it was all gimme, gimme, gimme with no warmth or no... The thing I love about my kids, I know they love me, and therefore it's like, it's cool. I'm still the ATM, and I'm still, you know, that whole deal. But there's love there first. You know what I'm saying, Dad? Okay. Number two, offer a sacrifice of praise. Sometimes you just got to just honor his characteristics. Just begin to praise him. God, you're the God of the universe. You created this whole, all these galaxies. You're so big. You're so mighty. You sent your son for me. I thank you. I worship you. I praise you. I love you. Fellowship. Go in there to fellowship with God. Don't go in there just to make your request. Have some face-to-face reinforcement. This may start out a little hollow and wooden, especially if you drifted away from it, but rekindle and reconnect your fellowship with God. Patsy said to me the other day, Jeff, just pray. Let's just pray for 30 minutes. Let's just pray. Man, we started praying, and I tell you, it became easier to pray after 30 minutes. It was amazing how hard it was to start praying. I started seeking. Ooh, it's good. Just even studying this, I couldn't get enough. You should see my notes, man. I've only given you 25%. In the sanctuary, you're already here. Corporate worship and corporate praise with like-minded people. Personality traits rub off. It gets the job done. He inhabits the praises of his people. It's a good thing to come together. Don't forsake assembling. Seek the Lord in the secret place, but also seek the Lord in the sanctuary. Meditate in his word. Take a verse like I just gave you. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. Get a Bible program. Quick verse. There's someone on the MacBook and there's some on the IBM or whatever they call this stuff. What is it? PC and Mac? Is that the deal? Whatever else. There are good programs where you could push a button and you can learn Hebrew stuff that you wouldn't have had access to. I mean, it comes fast, concordant stuff. It could help you. And you just meditate on it. Chew on it. I marinate these chicken wings in Italian dressing. It's a secret, so don't tell anybody else. And they taste so good. the longer they marinate. You just dip them and put them on there. It's just like, that tastes like chicken. But you put them in there a long time, it's like you're in Italy. They are so good. You got to cook slabs of them for everybody. Just piling them up because they're so good. A marinated Christian tastes better. Think about it. Chew it slowly. Meditate on it. Also, just read the Bible. Billy Graham challenged us years ago. Just sit down and read a chapter and watch how it refreshes your soul. It's true. He prayed in Psalm 119, deal bountifully with me, Lord, that I may live and keep thy law. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things from your law. That's what he always prayed before he read the Bible. I got a really beautiful photograph of him in his Montreat log cabin with his reading glasses and his denim shirt, and he's got his Bible on his lap, and it's all worn out. He's glowing, and he's signed it, so it's like security's guarded all that. It's locked. You can't get it, but it's treasure to me. But more important is the treasure of reading the Word. That's one of the ways you can seek God. You look in here and you find amazing things. Study the Word. Look up the context, the history, the original language, cross-reference. Look up the words of the dictionary. Get it in you where you understand it. And then every few moments, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. We're done. Let's all stand up. We're going to have a praise break. We're going to reconnect in ways to seek God. Seek God in the woods, but don't look for arrowheads. Seek God at home, but turn off the TV and leave your cell phone 35 feet away from you. Seek the Lord in private. Seek the Lord in your car. Seek the Lord every few minutes. Chuck Swindoll said, learn how to take minute vacations with God. Father, they that seek the Lord understand all things. They want for nothing. They become glad. Hallelujah. Father, I pray you move so mightily in this place right now. As long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. From sunrise to sunset. In fact, God, I pray it goes beyond just going to Friday service and getting in the car and having it all leak out. I pray we get enriched and get strengthened and get fortified. It becomes such a daily deal. Help us, Holy Spirit of God. God's at work in us. I believe he can burn our apathy. None of us feel like we're doing that great as Christians. But oh, wait a minute. Christ is the great one that is at work in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He's going to get all the glory. We're going to walk around in eternity going, I don't deserve to be here. Every good thing that happened was because of him. We're going to be able to say that forever and ever, and it's never going to get boring. Look at somebody next to you and say, I'm finishing strong. Yell it out of your mouth. As long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him.